This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my lips, O Lord, be acceptable unto you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated and good morning. You know, when you look over these readings, it's a clergy nightmare. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. This is the Sunday you want to take a vacation if you're a pastor. Now I know why Father Marty's away. A question I would like to pose before you this day as we begin. A question concerning Jesus and his teachings and what we find in the Gospels. If you were to read all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and make an inventory of all that Jesus says, what would be the number one topic that you would find him talking about? Let me give you a clue. This debate this morning that goes on about an inheritance points to that direction. The number one topic from Jesus' lips, as recorded by the Gospels, has to do with money, wealth, and possessions. Now that may really come as a surprise because we expect that the majority of what Jesus would have said would be about love and forgiveness. But he's making us aware that this obstacle, that possessions and wealth, is what gets in the way of love. And so today we begin with Jesus' word saying, take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. To help us understand better the very final words of this text, give us the clue as to what is expected. Jesus says it is to be rich toward God that is important. Now I realize that it has always been a problem for humankind, not only from the beginning of time, but perhaps even more so with our culture today. A culture that tempts us to believe that we can truly find security in wealth. The persons who desire wealth make that acquisition a priority. Not only do they make it a priority, they also devote their lives to try to gain more and to grow what they have. And this is where the problem all begins. Because as soon as we have that kind of attitude, we are automatically and instantly pushing God out of the picture, crowding our lives with things that get in the way from having that relationship that God desires to have with each and every one of us. The issue is not possession of wealth, but the issue that Jesus raises is that we are possessed by our possessions. That is the problem. And so Jesus is trying to help us realize that a true and secure life, a life that is meaningful and purposeful, a life that we want for ourselves that is rewarding, a life that gives you and me that true sense that we are alive, however you want to phrase that, it's what we really want out of life. Jesus tells us it cannot be found through the abundance of possessions. In fact, we have that popular verse from 1 Timothy that tells us that money is not the problem, it's the love of money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. says Paul. There's an interesting story that comes out of the epics of the Hindu faith. It comes out of the writings of the Mahabharata, one of the sacred books, where Bhrishma, who is the son of the sacred Genghis, is asked about the source of evil and sin in the world. And it's interesting that the question is raised by a young ruler who seeks wealth, very much like we find in our own New Testament and in our Gospels. And this is what Bhrishma says. From greed, sin, and all irreligion flows a stream of misery. Greed is the poisoned spring of all cunning and hypocrisy of the world. It is greed which makes people sin. And so you see, it's not just the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, but other faiths in the world teach that greed is the cause of sin. And so our gospel puts it into perspective for us with that closing that says that real security can only come to us as we find ourselves rich toward God. Usually, however, when someone that we know is caught up in spending extravagantly, we may hear them say to us, well, you know, it's really not about the money. Well, if that be the case, why are you telling me how much it costs? The problem, as we have it today in this case, truly is not about the money. The problem is about our insatiable demand to have more and more and more. You know, Jesus rejects what seems to keep our society humming this day and age. And he warns us against greed and avarice and the desire to possess more than we need, more than we can use, more than we could ever want. And yet, an interesting problem that mankind has always had. There's an interesting side note here, because as you look at the text in the original Greek, there's one word that captures the four words, the love of money. One single Greek word for the love of money. The word is philia garus, and it literally means love of silver. The Bible scholars have appropriately translated that as greed or as avarice. Greed and avarice is a popular sin. But you know what? We don't like to name it. In fact, we don't even want to recognize it, because that way we don't have to deal with it. And that is exactly what recovery groups talk about, especially when someone in their midst has an addiction. If we look at a family, for instance, where alcoholism may be the problem, alcoholism is that big white elephant that sits in the middle of the room. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows how it's ruining the family, yet no one wants to talk about it. The big white elephant for us is the sin of avarice. It sits in the midst of us, but we don't want to talk about it. The word avarice seems like a very old-fashioned word, unfamiliar. We don't hear that word a great deal. But it really is a truer translation of what greed is all about. Avarice is defined as the desire to possess something just for the sake of possessing it. Not to possess it for enjoyment, not to possess it for the purpose it may serve, but to possess it just for the sake of having it. It is that vice where we simply buy things and allow it to all pile up. We begin to store things, just like that foolish rich man in the parable today. To store up and to make bigger barns, or maybe bigger mansions that dwarf the two little people that hide in that home. It's unfortunate that avarice indeed is a sin that is encouraged by our society. But more so, it is promoted by our society. All you need to do is look at advertising around you. You can't get away from it. Get more. Buy more. Have more. Gather more. Everything to appeal to you. As a result of this sin of greed and avarice, we begin to look upon other people, not so much as creatures and children of God, but rather as consumers. Consumers that simply exist to consume, to hoard, to gain as much as you can for yourself. The mall becomes the great shrine, the temple of avarice, filled with more than we actually need, that actually nobody needs. And yet you are tempted to come, to buy, to acquire, to have, whether you need it or not. It then seems that that whole desire and experience to acquire things becomes a goal for life for the vast majority of the public today. Shopping is no longer that experience where you go to buy something that you need. Rather, it's an action that seems to be designed to fulfill that empty need that is within you. And despite all the promises that advertising makes, that hunger is never satisfied. And you continue to go back and back to seek something that never truly gives meaning to your life. So what then really is gained from avarice? There are two emotions or two experiences that we gain when we're focused on greed and avarice. One is dissatisfaction, and the other is distraction. Let's examine those two things. First, let's look at dissatisfaction. We know that avarice promises to satisfy you, and momentarily it may do that. We acquire things to satisfy ourselves, but as soon as we drag all that booty home, suddenly we don't desire it and it doesn't meet our needs because it doesn't look as grand and luxurious as it did in the store with all the lights and display. Avarice is like a bad rash. Those of you who are allergic to poison ivy know the worst thing you can do is scratch, but you can't avoid it. Avarice is the same way. It's hard, and you want relief, so you shop. Scratching only makes it worse. The other experience of avarice is distraction. And distraction, because we acquire so many things, distraction destroys our relationships. As you and I are focused on hoarding for ourselves, the relationships that we have with other people are put off and therefore are put at risk and are disrupted. Avarice is such a focus on ourselves with our own satisfaction that we neglect other people who are gifts around us. It also distracts us from a relationship with God, a relationship that God has been seeking and desires. When that desire for avarice controls us, we cannot be grateful to God for all the blessings we have because our hearts are not grateful, because we are too caught up in craving having more things. In addition, avarice also distracts us from an appropriate attitude toward creation around us. We begin to see all these things around us as something that we should dominate and use and be strictly a consumer, not giving respect to anything that is around us. And so you see, avarice ends up disconnecting us from God, from each other, and from creation. And those who live that kind of life are poor in all that matters in life, and are to be pitied. That's the doom and gloom we hear this morning, but where is the good news? Where can we find something to help pull us truly away from this sin that is so dominant in our world today? Thank God, as we look at these readings much closer, we discover, especially in the gospel, that there are two ways that Jesus helps us to overcome and to be the people we are called to be. First, we have the parable of the rich fool that reminds us that death brings it all to an end. No matter how much you acquire in life, you can't take it with you. And so those of you who find meaning in all the possessions that are around you, you find that it really is not a true source of life and a true source of meaning, and that your life indeed is quite empty. The second meaning that Christ brings to our attention is found, as I said, in the end of this gospel, another alternative to avarice. Rather than simply storing up things for ourselves, we can seek to be rich toward God. And that is exactly what Jesus is asking of us. This is the true message that is in this gospel reading today. We can recognize God's love. We can recognize the gift of hospitality and grace and blessings that He desires for our lives. And therefore, we can then respond in light of all the blessings that are there, but we are blind to because of avarice. We can then respond truly as the children of God, knowing that God is like this loving parent that we spoke of last week, who desires the best for God's children. For you and for me. We also can be responding to the relationships around us and see them not as rivals, not as obstacles to satisfy our own individual needs, but rather as brothers and sisters who are placed into our world, into our lives to bring us blessings. We only need to open ourselves to those relationships. And then to open ourselves also to nature. And to creation around us. To no longer see them as obstacles over which we have control and that they're only to be used for us to consume, but rather to give them the love and the respect and the admiration that God created them to be for our lives. And so rather than live in dissatisfaction, you and I can exercise a sense of wonder with all the bounties that come our way. Rather than be distracted from relationships, we can savor those relationships and grow in them and truly become the people God desires us to be. Instead of storing all kinds of possessions and creating petty little kingdoms, we can begin to recognize the beauty and the broadness of God's creation around us that we can enjoy now and will enjoy more fully in the life to come. What an incredible gift you and I have with this that we call the Christian life. It truly is the Christian life that helps you and me to avoid these pitfalls of greed and avarice, these ways of the world that tempt us and remove us from the meaningful life that God desires for us. Prayer and worship, scripture and sacrament, service and witness, the whole package of what it means to be a Christian frees us from these sins and enables us to truly be a people of God. And so when we begin to truly have our eyes opened to all of those blessings that are around us, we will then begin to discover that avarice is not simply wrong, but it's irrelevant. Because we begin to realize there is nothing that we can grasp from around us when Christ our Lord has already been given to us the only gift that matters, His love and His grace for our daily living. Thanks be to God for the gift of Christ. Amen.